You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop, a very special holiday edition of IGN GameScoop, the last GameScoop of 2010. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Hillary Goldstein,
who just
decided to turn around and join the group here.
Welcome. I wanted it to be dramatic.
That was very dramatic. You've actually made an entrance. I wish the listeners could have seen it.
Maybe one day we'll have like a webcam up.
We don't want that.
We talked about doing that. But
you did like a Dr. Claw thing.
Yeah, I did. Mm. Yeah, but you could see my face.
Mm.
You know, if I was going to do Dr. Claw. I was thinking about one time about dressing as Dr. Claw for Christmas, but actually like having it set up so that the shoulders were at my head.
Did anyone else catch this?
So you never...
I was thinking of dressing as Dr. Claw for Christmas. Good morning, children.
That's right. I like to dress up for Christmas.
That's good.
Also, are we going to comment on the fact that Jack is stirring his eggnog with his finger?
The rum and the eggnog are not mixing.
Mm. Who would have thought?
You gotta stir it. What am I gonna stir it with? This microphone?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's true.
Works for me.
Yeah. Also, Jack DeVries is here.
I am
stirring
here.
His eggnog with his finger.
Am I the cat to Hill's Dr. Claw?
Yes. Yes.
Does that mean he has to sit on my lap?
No.
No, he sat on the armrest, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And our own Penny, Greg Miller.
Oh, that's good. That's
good. You Brain.
Yeah, I'm Brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who's okay. Gadget then?
No, we don't need a
Ryan
gadget.
Clements? It's
probably Rob the Robot.
I always imagined Charles Onyet as Professor Inspector Gadget, Professor Gadget.
Well, just because
his morning is not going well.
Because he's the tallest one of us.
Yeah, I just imagine him in a trench coat and all of his things not working right. And
then, yeah, he always has roller skates when he means to have a pogo stick.
Yeah,
Charles does roller skate to work every day.
I think he'd make a better boss. You remember Gadget's boss, who's always pissed off by Gadget's antics.
Oh, and then but Gadget always really... throws the note in the trench can. And
Charles just doesn't get like pissed off in an interesting way.
I mean. True, I guess that's true.
You need somebody who can get angry.
We're enjoying some eggnog here, getting in the holiday spirit. It's that time of year. You might say it's the most wonderful time of the year. That's what I like to say. Greg and I we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
But and then Jack and Hill are both heathens and they do not celebrate Christmas.
Wait, that's the opposite of how that works.
Also, I celebrate everything that gives you gifts. Mm-hmm. So.
Are you're going to be in attendance at Jim and Greg's Carolyn Christmas Party annual party too?
Of course.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
I wouldn't want to miss a year.
Remember, it'll be Ustreamed, everybody, on Ustream.
I want to, if you've seen those commercials with those old men who've been to every Super Bowl,
yeah.
I want to be,
yeah,
like,
want to be there
old
for
man,
every...
and I want to be like I've been to all 40.
Jim and Greg Carolyn Christmas Party.
Because you're going to be alone forever.
yeah, we're about to wrap things up for the year here at IGN. This is the last GameScoop of the year. I'm going back to Kansas next week. I think going back to Kansas is an LL Cool J song.
That actually popped in my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you started slowing down how you're going to talk when you get there so you'll fit right back in? Start mispronouncing your words, spelling things wrong.
You know,
writing love notes to your sister, get back in the swing of everything.
Things do go by a lot more slowly in Kansas. It's true.
You get to appreciate them.
You always have time for a nap.
You sit on your
every day.
Sit on your porch, have a Bud Light. You're all set. You know what's happening.
It's true. Mass Effect 2. We've seen it on PS3 now.
The definitive version, quoted by Casey Hudson, executive producer of Mass Effect.
That's a Casey Hudson quote, right?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Wow.
It does look really good on PS3.
It does, yeah.
I was surprised by it when we did the side by side comparison of the 360 and PS3 versions. Yeah.
But then the next day they explained why on Mass Effect 3's engine.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Come on.
So it's like you're
trickery.
It's like you're looking into the future when you're looking.
It's
at
a
Mass
Christmas
2
miracle.
And Hill, you've been talking about now you're going to switch. You're jumping ship. You're going to be playing Mass Effect 3 on PS3.
Hell yeah, I am.
Yeah, trophies.
Well, first of all, I'm no fool. I'm a front runner. I've seen it. I see.
You see the tides turning. You're like, all right.
This has been a sea change in the gaming industry. Look,
the 360's done.
You know, we're getting ready to talk about like what stuff we're looking forward to in 2011, all that stuff. And we struggled to get an Xbox exclusive on our top 10 list of Xbox games for 2011. And you look at PS3, and they can actually ignore like great cross-platform games and still have a list of 10 things, you know, without even have to even include Mass Effect 3. There's so much stuff that I would want to play on PS3. Not that I've ever been, like, adverse to playing on it, but, yeah. You know. But, yeah, Mass Effect 3, the reason why is before I played 3, I'd always said I wanted to go back and play 1 and 2 again and kind of, like, explore the choices and all that. Mm. But if you played Mass Effect 2 and you try to play Mass Effect 1 again, it's really hard. Because yeah. Mass Effect 1 has a lot of problems, which, because of what it was doing, like, you could kind of forgive at the time, but since they fixed all of them in Mass Effect 2, it's really annoying. Yeah. Like, there's so many bugs in Mass Effect 1 that are just annoying. And so Mass Effect 2 on PS3 is like, I can just play that comic book and make all my choices right away.
15 minutes, you're done.
And then just jump right in and play Mass Effect 2, which is a much better game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing. It's done. Sorry, Xbox guys.
Shut it down. Shut it all down.
Turn off the lights.
Well, you realize, though, that Microsoft says they have more in store for us next year that they haven't.
I would hope so. They've got jack shit right now. I mean,
are you quoting that new story?
Yeah.
There's a quote in there. He's like, I'd rather be in no one else's shoes or something along those lines.
He says, I don't think we'd trade places with anyone at this point in time.
Yeah,
the Microsoft representative.
Connect's doing well, so you understand.
Connect,
I mean,
they had
a really good year. Let's not lie, but I mean,
but Connect actually they have me too
looked
much.
On the sites
as Jim Riley notes in his news story here. They're on pace to hit their goal of 5 million Connect sales before the end of the year, and for the past 6 months, Xbox 360 hardware has been leading both the PS3 and the Wii. So yeah, they have had a good year.
Yeah,
but yeah, when you look ahead to 2011, it's like, what are we going to be playing on Xbox?
I mean, there's lots of
Connectimals 2
cross-platform stuff, but it's like,
please start working on that exclusive, by the way. Yeah. We need to have the exclusive announcement
of Connectimals 2. Exclusive. Bumble's Revenge.
It's Bumble's, or is that just what
Bumble's
you named?
Bumble's is the little lemur thing voiced by Invader Zim that you do. I assume that he got furious when he found out the pirate was dead.
Here's the one problem with switching to PS3 is that everybody I know is smart and they all still play 360. Mm-hmm. So like when I go on PS3, like my friends list is a bunch of random readers and Greg Miller and Colin.
Yeah. I'm on PS3.
Oh, we're not friends though.
Oh,
we should probably do that.
Probably.
But you're saying you don't have that many, so you don't have to deal with it all popping up that people are signing.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of not. It's sort of like
desolate.
It's sort of like kind of interesting switch because it's like 360. I can't even accept any readers because I have like 100 friends that are all people in the industry and stuff, people that I know. Mm-hmm. And on PS3, no one plays there, so it's sort of wide open. It's kind of refreshing.
Give out your name. Let the kids.
It is Noob in the Tube.
There you go.
Like Noob with two zeros.
Why would you not go with Kill Hill? I don't understand why you would switch up your game.
Well, Kill Hill I came up with when Kill Bill came out, so it seemed catchy, but now it seems dated and old. Like, honestly, I would actually change it on Xbox Live, but I keep thinking, then some jerk will actually come in and take my old name and pretend to be me, so I sort of...
Also, isn't it weird, you're like only allowed to change once or something on Xbox Live?
You have to pay for it.
Oh, that's
you have
how,
to
that's
pay
what
10 bucks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's also nuts. I mean, to be fair, I've had like 15 different...
I was going to say, I was waiting for you to talk about this.
I used to always forget my PlayStation Network password, and rather than do the send me another one because it was free, I would just be like, I'll just create a new thing. So, like, yeah, I've actually managed to be Noob in the Tube for like, I think, 6 months now, so it's pretty good.
Oh, it's been longer than that. You've been doing
it. It's been a while.
Yeah, there are different Hill logins on every debug we have.
Yep. Yeah. I like to switch it up.
We should note that Jack is wearing his shirt that was given to him by a listener.
I did, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I believe Eugene Tsuruta, I believe, is the name of our Japanese listener.
The Japanese Parappa shirt.
Yeah.
Still fits me.
It's very cool.
You. How's your Sonic shirt?
It's good.
Good.
I slept in my Street Fighter shirt last night.
Awesome.
Were you just wearing that?
Just that.
Yeah.
Is that working for you?
Does it, man. Okay, you're all clean shaven today.
Yeah, I shaved today.
Hey, you look very handsome today.
I have a lot of fluid in my stomach.
Yes, coffee and eggnog.
I had an orange juice before this, too. I got all the liquid groups mingling.
Are you keeping
Those are the three major liquids.
Are you keeping an eye on the Ass Man Lounge? I wonder if they're going to come in and be like, where's our rum?
If anybody doesn't know, which is everybody.
Nobody knows.
From the podcast room, there used to be a giant empty space. Yeah. And then
where we used to film the Daily Fix before we actually had the studio.
And last week, they got it whipped into shape, and now it's the Ask Men Lounge.
And there's just a bar there, an open bar.
It's just
it's themed for Mad Men. Like, every conference room we have is themed after some, either a game or a TV show or a movie.
Yeah.
And that's Mad Men, so it's got a fully stocked bar. I don't know why people aren't just sitting in there.
I know, that's why I don't get, like, the door is open, and there's this fully stocked bar.
I don't think people know yet. It's been a slow burn. Yeah.
Since I'm on, like, four different podcasts, I come down here a lot, and I've noticed that the liquor levels have decreased noticeably since it was first instituted. Thanks in part to us.
Yeah, we've got the rum in.
We've stolen their rum and brought it into our room.
We were drinking vodka and Sprite for Game Spider briefings. It was great. Keeps it classy.
2011, all these great PS3 games coming out. Mm-hmm. Maybe the most exciting one, Uncharted 3. You've seen Uncharted 3 now.
Yeah. That's how the trailer starts.
Okay. with you singing?
Is that
you?
That's me. Sorry, heads up, everybody. Spoiler alert. I don't know if you caught that in the Rewind Theater.
So can you tell us about it?
I can, as of 3 a.m. today, which I woke up blurry-eyed to publish, because our stuff still cannot do that on its own.
But hopefully we've all voted.
Yeah, well, I'm broken and I can't vote either. But Uncharted 3, it looks really, really good. It's interesting. Like, I put in the preview, like, every time this is my second time I've covered an Uncharted reveal, right? Like, when I went down and covered Uncharted 2, and then I went and did this one, right, for the first reveal. And I felt going down the same way I felt going down for 2, where it was like...
Going down feels the same for you?
Especially, yeah. I was thinking, it's going to be great, and, Naughty Dog knows what they're doing. It'll be really cool. I'm just expecting it to be a little bit better, you know what I mean? Like, little tweaks. And then... Like, just like with 2, they played through this, 7 minutes of a level or whatever, and it was, like, so much better than I thought it would be, you know what I mean? And then I got to try to express that to people, because it's still little tweaks, right? The main thing, obviously, it looks way, way better. The graphics are amazing. You're in the chateau for the part we saw, and it starts burning down and falling down around you. And, like, this isn't in the clip we have up, sadly, but, Nate's climbing up the wall, and the fire's, creeping up behind him very slowly, coming up, and it's, it looks like real fire. It's casting reflections on, like, the soles of his feet and his legs and stuff and everything. And you can see some of that in the screenshots, along that lines. But then they toy with, like, your expectations because, you get so used to seeing him do the amazing in these games that,
Do
just
the amazing.
Thank you. It becomes
second
nature.
That should be the tagline for the game. Uncharted 3. Do the amazing.
It only does amazing. PlayStation.
It should be, it only does amazing.
But at one point he's going to spring off a wall, turn in midair, grab the other wall and climb up. But he grabs the ledge and it breaks and he falls down. And then we all made fun of it in Uncharted 2, how there was, like, a 17 clips of... run over here and I'll catch you. Yes. And you run and you do the arm grab. Yeah. In the clip we have up on IGN right now, this one thing breaks and he starts to tumble and suddenly reaches out to do one of those and he just blows past it. He can't do it and falls over and he's hanging from this fire. So it looks great. It looks like they're going to try to, take what you know and turn it around and expand on it.
How many times did you die on a train in that demo?
Nobody died on the train in the demo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see the gameplay that leads up to how the trailer opened with that plane crash.
Yeah.
That's going to be really cool.
All of it's going to be cool.
Yeah,
it does look amazing. And I love that it already has a release date. Like, just start looking forward to it.
No teasers or anything. We're just jumping into it. Like, here we go.
I love that games now have release dates a year out.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane.
November 1st, yeah.
And games never get delayed, so.
Yeah, I know, right? It'll be perfect.
Yeah. That's why I would say my most anticipated game of next year would be Last Guardian, but there's no way that game's coming out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why would they now, right? Like, they have just a stacked arsenal of, like, sequels and AAA. Like, Last Guardian's going to be cool, and it's going to hit, but you never know how that's going to resonate with, like, a casual PS3 fan person.
You know a game I'm actually really, really excited for is the Eco Collection, and the reason why is because... first of all, those two games are great, so seeing them in HD is going to be awesome. And I think just replaying Shadow of the Colossus, which I would put in the top 5 games of all time, is going to be great. But more that it's like there are people in this office who never played either of those games.
I never played Eco.
Yeah. Never played Eco either. And Shadow of the Colossus, though, is considerably better. But
so play Eco first, and then.
Yeah, I mean, but it's cool. It's going to be cool because people are going to start talking about that game again. And I just think it's going to be nice to be able to talk to, like have renewed conversations about games that came out like 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's in the spring, yeah. When that does that have
that's
a release
the plan, yeah.
Date
yeah.
Or
no? They said spring for that, and then fall for Last Guardian. But seeing as how everything, yeah, like Damon's shaking his head.
Yes.
Seeing as how it's stacking up with the big titles releases, I'd imagine they push Eco, you know, sometime to, you know, summer, fall, and then push Last Guardian into first half of next year, so they have, you know, a whole bunch of stuff leading in.
Also, by the way that you're going to know that Microsoft's in trouble, so if you look at their pattern in the last 3 years at E3, they almost always just focus on games that are coming out the rest of that year. So if we get to E3 and they announce like 15 games coming out in 2012, then you know that they're scared.
They've sacrificed.
Like that they're like, oh God, everybody thinks we have nothing, or we have nothing, and we've just got to go sell people on next year.
Yeah.
Would they have to change their strategy? I'd say that means that they're in deep shit.
2011 starts off big, even in January. Yeah. Of course, you have Mass Effect 2 on PS3. Dead Space 2. We have Little Big Planet 2. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 comes right in early February.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Bulletstorm. I don't care about the multiplayer, but I think the single player could be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to the single player of Bulletstorm. And we just found out today that that comes with a beta for Gears of War 3, yeah? Or beta access.
Access, yeah.
Star Wars Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah.
It came out this fall.
And it was a huge hit.
It was, well...
Saved LucasArts. Got stellar review scores.
Greatest Star Wars game ever made.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think all of these things are true.
No, that didn't. Oh.
I think
I get my news from Jack.
Yeah. It probably did so well because it's Star Wars, but it didn't review all that well.
Yeah.
And people were a little disappointed.
I thought it underperformed, didn't it? Anybody? Did I make that up? Did I just dream that figure?
Do not have the numbers here. I'm just assuming that since
remember.
It's called Star Wars.
I just remember the first one did really, really, really well.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, there's some interesting DLC that came out this week.
Right.
Tell us about this, Greg. I'm actually very intrigued by what this is. And maybe we should say there's going to be a lot of spoilers here.
Tons of spoilers here.
Right now.
So if you played the first Force Unleashed, they put out DLC eventually that was expanded universe, kind of a what-if storyline, right? And in it, you fought Luke on Hoth, and you could kill him there. I think you fought Obi-Wan, too, right?
That's crazy to me. I can't. Cool. I'm surprised, like George Lucas would even allow that.
Oh, they
I think
it.
It's cool. I think
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, so that they did that, and they just put out for Force Unleashed 2 now, Endor level, which is basically you pick up as the Dark Apprentice. And
fun fact, Endor is the snow planet. Where
no!
Yes!
I'll kill you.
Endor, of course, is home of the Wookiees.
Yeah. You mean...
No, not the Wookiees.
Mean,
oh, God. Don't yell me. I screwed it up. I'm trying to be good. The little guys. Tribbles.
You mean Endor's forest moon... Home of the Ewoks.
Thank you, sure. All right, cool. Yeah. So you're on the forest moon, home of the Ewoks, which is, you know, where Empire, or not Empire, Jedi. Damn, I'm just the worst Star Wars person of all time.
My favorite Ewok was Lando Calrissian. I thought he was great.
He was the cutest.
Yeah, well, that did sound racist.
How is that racist?
I don't know.
Basically, you just can't...
Say nothing about anything.
Wait, but in Star Wars, I don't know that he was actually considered black. I don't know
he
if
was
they,
a good point.
I don't know if they saw skin color the way that we do.
That's
because
true.
I think when you have a bunch of other species out there, I think that's... You kind of just go human, and like the skin tone doesn't really matter. Like, oh, he looks really tan.
Interesting.
But, you know, I think you're more like... At least
and he
he's
was
not
human,
ugly
right?
Wookie.
Should we get Gaius on the phone?
I think he's human. Humanish?
Yeah, unless he was like... Yeah, I'm sure he was human.
Okay.
I would hope so, since he fucked Princess Leia.
I don't think did that.
When did that happen?
In my fanfic.
Oh, right. Nice.
Under an Endor moon.
That's pretty awesome.
Mark that one down. Javi, that'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one.
Anyway.
Oh, okay. So you're on Endor, and this is basically where end of Return of the Jedi happens, right? Where they take out the shield generators, they can take down the second Death Star, everybody goes home happy, and they do that little dance, and all the ghosts show up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We should do an episode where we just summarize Star Wars. anyways, you're the Dark Apprentice, a clone of the Dark Apprentice. You show up, and you just...
You're a clone of the Dark Apprentice?
Well, you're I don't want to ruin Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 for you, but
I want to ruin the opening cutscene.
There's a lot of clones going on in this game.
Okay,
you're a dark apprentice. Anyways, you land, you kill all these rebels, you're throwing the Ewoks all over the place, hitting them with lightsabers, force powers. Eventually, you get to the shield generator station. Chewie is up in one of the AT-ATs. I'm sure that's not exactly what it is. One of the walkers. You know what I'm talking about.
Talking about the AT-ST?
Is it that chicken walker?
Only two legs? Yeah, AT-ST.
Thank you. And Han's on top of the thing or whatever. So you get into a very, very boring and cliched battle with Chewie where you're just jumping around. You can just basically jump in front of it and throw your lightsabers at it and he can't shoot you. And
stupid but Chewie.
The cool thing
is... Fucking moron.
you damn ape. You know what you're doing. Eventually, you beat that thing down, though, and you jump on top of it, open the canister, and start grabbing him, and you hold Chewie up, and Han goes to shoot you, and you turn and block the shot with Chewie, so Chewie gets killed by Han's own gun.
Oh, my God.
Han goes, Chewie! And then you jump on there, and you stab Han with your lightsaber, Jesus. Kill him, and then you
Holy
go inside.
Shit.
This sounds very like this cinematic. Game. Is this just a cutscene?
Yeah, this is all... Oh, yeah, this is totally a cutscene. Yeah, the game is just the same... game of throwing your lightsabers and force power and getting annoyed, but then the cutscenes are awesome, which we already posted on IGN, so you're all going to go look at them.
Getting annoyed is one of your power-ups?
Yeah. There's great anger in you. Then you go inside. Princess Leia runs for a while. You eventually get to fight her, though, and she's setting up bombs. You knock them in her face. She's like,
Does she set us up the bomb?
She said, is that what I said?
No, that's a quote. What game is that from? From Metal Gear?
No.
Set us
no,
up the bomb?
Shit.
Think about it.
Genesis, it's all your base.
It's from that same game, Zero Wing, isn't that the one?
Zero Wing, yeah.
Anyway.
Somebody set us up the bomb.
Yes.
Okay.
You have no chance. Make your time.
Then Leia does the big reveal. She says, you don't know anything. Dark Jedi. You killed my brother, and now throws off her jacket. I'm a Jedi.
She gets naked?
No.
Yes.
Well, she's in like she's in a very similar Natalie Portman white outfit with like the sides cut out.
With the tiger like slash?
Yeah, like that, but not obviously that one. She's not like wearing
was
her
the
mom's
part.
Clothes.
Was that space tiger ripped off half of her outfit?
Yeah. And then she gets the yellow lightsaber out, and you guys fight for a while, and it's very, very boring and somewhat annoying. And then you kill her too.
So I think I'm going to skip.
Do you cut off one of her buns for like a trophy?
No, that'd be cool though.
No, because it was Endor. She had a ponytail at the time.
Well, it was Endor. She didn't know that she was Luke's twin, and she didn't know that she could be a Jedi. So there you go.
Yeah, alternate reality. She has buns when she was on Endor this time. Not real. Not really.
Okay.
But here's the question: would they have even gotten this far without Luke? If he gets killed at Hoth?
If he gets killed at Hoth, well, that was the second one. So, most of the second movie is Luke's like personal little thing.
True.
They don't do much past Hoth.
Okay.
So yeah, it's theoretical like that they could get to Endor because I mean that was the whole Rebel Alliance that really came up with that Endor plan.
Yeah, but I think you could argue that Luke being alive is like Darth Vader essentially let them escape Bespin. Like basically Darth Vader sort
Nerd
of
alert.
Wasn't gonna like catch, you know, his,
but if he found out that
kid and his friends, you
Leia
know
Leia was his daughter as well and was also a Jedi, then That's he true. Might have done the same thing.
Would he cut off her arm first?
Maybe.
I always thought he was very when he realizes that Luke has a sister, he doesn't seem to put it together that it's also his daughter.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
He's like,
you have a sister.
There are only, I gotta
pay more
two girls
for
in this entire movie. Who could it be?
By the way, do you think that he blew up Alderaan because he was tired of paying child support? I keep getting these checks every month. I'm just going to blow up the planet. It's too soon.
That's how child support works.
Bail-a-gana.
I keep getting these checks. Why are they paying me to take care of my daughter?
Right.
That's true. I guess it would be bills.
Yeah.
And then so this I didn't post on the site, but I'll ruin it for GameScoop audience. Then Darth Vader goes down like a bitch to the Emperor. He goes down like a bitch to the Emperor.
He goes
not
down
on
the
Emperor.
Emperor.
Not on the Emperor.
Whoa.
You have fellatio on the brain today, Damon.
What can I say?
First of all, according
Oh my God. I wish the listeners could have seen that.
According to Jack, the Emperor is very well endowed.
Yes.
It's like a balloon animal. What's going on there?
Oh my God.
And Darth Vader can keep his helmet on.
Yeah.
The little mouth like drops. Comes unhinged.
Oh, okay. That's enough of on Force Unleashed 2. No, it's not enough.
To wrap it all up in a package, only 99 cents. Oh, that was interesting. I thought
that was sunlight.
Oh yeah, there's a couple. Well, I got a couple. I'm not sure if it's synced with my old ones.
Okay.
Whew. Okay. Greg, tell us about Dead Rising Case
Man,
West.
I'm all over the place today. Look at
I'm
me.
Just saying you're the only one that does any work.
I did a lot of content this week. Yeah. Dead Rising 2 Case West is a new piece of DLC. It's standalone, so it's not really like
I'm going to spoil this. Greg really likes this.
I do. So it's fixed all my
You can just download Case West and play it on its own just like you could with Case Zero.
Correct, yeah. But this one doesn't load all the time like Case Zero did.
Good.
And then why are you just picking apart everything I say to
I'm just
What is your problem? The eggnog has gone to your head. That's the problem.
I'm sorry I finished all the eggnog.
That's fine. yeah, so Case Zero, it was a nice idea. I like the idea of being able to level up early going into Dead Rising 2, but it loaded all the time. It didn't look that great. There was some other little problems. And plus, it was the same thing as, you know, Dead Rising 1, same formula. I'm going to go get this guy, bring him back, do this, blah, blah, blah. Then Dead Rising 2 came out, which I enjoyed, but again, it was literally, you know, we're back in a mall-like structure, and I'm going to go save people and bring them to the security room, yada, yada, yada. Case West, what's cool about it is, again, standalone, 800 Microsoft points, and it's it's taking what you know. It still keeps, like, you know, you got to go pee or poop to save the game and eat stuff and, you know, pick up items and fight and stuff. But it starts you at level 40, so it's like you know, you've maxed out playing Dead Rising 2. It starts with, you know, Chuck coming up to the helipad. His daughter's dead. He still has to clear his name. At the helipad, he runs into Frank West, the protagonist from the original Dead Rising, who everybody loves. And he knows of, like, this Zombrex facility you have to go after. And, you know, you're going to get the source. You're going to bring this whole thing down. So you go all the way over there, and when you get there, like, you'll find survivors who need help, but they don't need – they're like lab workers who used to be there, so they didn't need to be let around. So it's kind of like, I need a gun. You give them a gun. They're like, thanks so much, and they just run off and do their own thing. You don't have to worry about them. And then it doesn't load like K-Zero did at all. Like, it's really quick. You're jumping around. The whole thing's co-op, so you and I could play, jump in. This time it would make sense. If you remember Dead Rising 2, it was just another Chuck for no reason, never explained, whereas this one, player one's always going to be Chuck, and then whoever joins is going to be Frank. Mm-hmm. If you have no friends like me, you could play by yourself, and the computer would control Frank, and Frank could never die that way, which would be probably helpful in some of the tougher stuff. And there's, you know, new enemies, new bosses, new weapons, new combos.
Is there camera stuff with Frank?
There is. And for Chuck. You can take photos as Chuck, too. It's more of just an interesting way to get PP. There's another 10 levels to go through. So you're starting at 40. You can go all the way up to level 50. And instead of getting pictures like you used to, where you could take pictures of anything and it would say, like, oh, erotica or, you know, gruesome or whatever, now there's, like, items that are hidden around there with little camera insignias, like stickers on them. So, like, you know, lab things that would be cool for your story. You have to find that out and then take the photo and get some PP. It's nice to do.
PP.
Yeah.
Now, does the PP you earned in this, like, go back to the game?
Nothing you had from if you played Dead Rising 2, nothing carries over, and if you play this one, nothing goes backwards. So
okay.
It's a completely standalone experience.
And how much does it cost?
800 Microsoft points.
So $10.
$10 in real money? Okay.
It's more than K-Zero is only $5, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an Xbox exclusive?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've changed my mind now.
Okay. Back to Xbox.
Xbox has got everything.
You
again.
Pick up the PS3 and drop it in the trash can.
So December 27th for
Coming
Case West. If you get any Microsoft points in your stocking.
There you go. I'd earmark them for that.
Yeah.
I experienced something new last night, which was that.
No,
I have those with your mom all the time. my PS3 hard drive got full. I didn't know that was even possible.
Yeah.
I was like shocked. Because it's, you know, they're just always automatically downloading full game versions when you put in discs. So.
Yeah.
I had to delete a bunch of old games.
Game
I had to go in and be like, hey, MLB 10, I don't need you anymore. Oh, you're 4 gigs? Awesome.
Hey, hey, MLB 8, MLB 9, MLB 10. Yeah, I had all three of them on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we were saying, many, many great games coming out next year. One game was delayed this week, though, was Deus Ex.
I believe it's called Deus Ex.
Human Revolution, which I think is okay because I think that game looks really cool, but I think it could use a little more time in the oven. The AI, when I saw it last time, was a little questionable. Lots of dumb enemies just like popping up out of cover and letting you shoot them, stuff like that. But that game looks cool. And it also has gold in it.
And black.
And black.
Gold and black. No game has ever used gold and black in that way.
Yeah.
How long has it been delayed till?
Well, so we don't know. When it was supposed to come out in...
Spring, right? It was spring something or other.
Yeah,
March,
it's been pushed back to Square Enix's next fiscal year, which starts in April. But so it's just sometime in their next fiscal year. So could be a significant delay. We don't really know. But this was announced during Square Enix's financial.
Oh, they're rolling in the money.
Yeah. Well, you know, see, they also slashed their earnings forecast.
What?
Greg, sell your stock now.
So this is a
Jim Riley, sell.
A statement issued by Square Enix reads, with weak sales performance of console game titles, as well as harsh market...
Final Fantasy 13?
He says, feedback regarding a key title. And I was wondering, do you think that is Final Fantasy 13?
What like, else did
what
they
is
have
that key title?
Well, it's not Front Mission, so I mean, it's got to be.
Or Final Fantasy 14.
But Kingdom Hearts wasn't on any consoles, right? It was just PS, right?
Yeah. Well, PSP.
That's not a console either.
Okay, no.
I mean, I'm
thinking marketing speak.
I'm more like parsing the words, but he said a key console title.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe it was from Mission Evolved because that thing sucked.
Yeah,
that thing did.
Well, is that a key title though?
No, that's
kind of. I still think it's Just Cause 2.
Actually, that's possible too.
Yeah,
you got to remember, yeah,
they had billboards everywhere for that game, and who bought that?
That's true. There were billboards.
Yeah.
That game was a lot of fun. I actually really liked Just Cause 2. Did we end up giving it any award in our Best of 2010?
Best grappling hook.
Best grappling. Yeah. Best use of a grappling hook.
Best. Hey, this game's not bad.
Yeah. Hey, got some time to kill? Try this.
Well, the one award that I suggested that didn't actually happen was the best game you forgot came out this year, which I think it might have been up there.
It could have been that or Darksiders.
Yeah, or I think Dark Splinter Cell. A lot of people forget Splinter Cell came out this year too.
Bayonetta.
No More Heroes 2.
Yeah, nobody cares about Bayonetta.
Speaking of Bayonetta.
Yeah.
I like the game.
Her clothes or her hair?
That's a game by Platinum Games.
Huh?
They've partnered up with Sega, and they've since delivered Bayonetta, Vanquish, Mad World on the Wii, Infinite Space on DS. And now they've announced that they're extending their deal a little bit, and they have another title on the way.
Even more Infinite Space.
Yeah, I know.
Infinite Bayonetta.
Oh, man.
Martin Robinson, one of our editors in the UK, he's crossing his fingers for a Bayonetta sequel. So most of these games have reviewed well, but I don't think they've... I think they like have like a very like niche, hardcore audience. Because like Clements loves Bayonetta, but I don't know. You said you like Bayonetta?
I like Bayonetta. Yeah. It's like the Ninja Gaiden of its time.
Okay.
It is. I mean, it's like the story makes no sense. It's like really hard. It's like you have to kind of fight with like the camera some. I don't know. It's a lot like Ninja Gaiden. So I can see why he likes it.
It seems like all these games, there's like two or three editors in the office that really love them, and then everyone else is just like,
I don't get why anybody likes Vanquish though.
But Clements loves Vanquish, and like
so does Caleb.
Mark Ryan likes it. Yeah. So I don't know.
Crazy.
So we'll have to see what this other like hardcore niche title that Platinum Games is working on will be.
I hope it's Mad World 2.
Mad World.
After a brief segue away from Greg tells us what he thinks about the games he's seen this week. Now we return with Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future from Telltale.
Gotta go back in time.
Comes out next week, next Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm. 22nd. Gotta go back in time. On PC.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be
iPad and PS3 have to wait.
Yeah, it won't be too long for PS3.
Gonna go back.
But it will be a while. And it sucks, too, because the game's really cool. Yeah, I'm a big Back to the Future fan. Give me other lyrics, or at least the
Power of Love. Let's just do Power of Love.
Huey Lewis will sue us. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, he's a big fan, actually.
Yeah.
I was supposed to give him a shout out this week. Shout out to Huey Lewis.
What about the news?
No.
The GameSpy Debriefings fans.
Anyway.
Back to the Future. A new adventure game from Telltale. It's not retelling the stories. A lot of people were confused about this. It's actually a sequel to the movies. It picks up a few months after the events of Back to the Future 3.
Just when you thought everything was all wrapped up in a nice little bow.
I thought the animated series picked up a few months after Back to the Future 3.
There was an animated series?
There was, and I call it out in my preview. I have a knock at it. I don't know if you caught that. Yeah.
I'll read your stuff.
Terrible. The DeLorean's back for no reason. Yeah, he's hanging out with Jules and Vern.
It's about the kids.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was so mad. Do you remember the episode where Doc invented? It wasn't even about time travel. In one episode, Doc invents a machine that helps you be the perfect batter, and Marty starts using it and goes like into pro baseball.
Ah,
like what does this have to do with time traveling?
Yeah, he just becomes like the nutty professor basically, and then the kids and Marty get into wacky antics.
I didn't think it was possible, but now I really appreciate the Bill and Ted cartoon.
Oh, the Bill and Ted cartoon was totally canon. It was great.
It was. They did it right. Like it was exactly what it was. It was them making bad time traveling decisions and all kinds of misadventures. I remember them playing baseball with Stonewall Jackson. That's the only episode I remember.
You know what they never did? Learn how to play the fucking guitars like they were supposed to at the end of Bill and Ted 1.
Anyway.
Back to the Future.
The game looks cool.
It's really cool.
Point and click adventure.
Yeah.
So like all of Telltale stuff.
Exactly. Sam and Max. It's episodic too. It's going to be a 5-episode run. About monthly probably for releases. 2 hours a piece for every game they expect.
This one picks up right afterwards. It's cool because it's nice. It, you know, they could easily just fall into. Granted, again, I've only seen 10 minutes of this game, so I'm going from that 10 minutes. They could have fallen into just, you know, kind of even how Back to the Future got really lazy in the movies, right, and used the same jokes over and over and never really expanded the characters. Like, right away, it's all about Marty dealing with the fact that Doc's gone, right? Like, his best friend's gone, so he's upset about that. He talks to his dad not as, you know, he nerdily talks to his dad, and like, when they're both peers, like right now his dad's actually his dad, so you get that father-son relationship. Mm-hmm. He's got to stand up to Biff in his own time, stuff like that. And there's a lot of references back to the movies. The game looks really well.
Then are there looks voices?
Really good. There's voices. Marty is – they're all sound-alikes except for Christopher Lloyd. Marty sounds awesome.
Wait,
I don't know if you've watched
no
the videos.
Crispin Glover?
No, I don't think so.
No, he's probably in some mental institution. That dude's nuts.
I heard he's crazy. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But no, all the characters look really good. All the puzzles seem cool. The Doc's the part I saw, it starts with something they didn't want me to talk about, which is a scene from the movie that you get to change, because obviously in these games you get to pick your line of dialogue. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of reliving the scene from the movie. But so if you want to, you can start getting off book and choosing things that you don't actually say, that Marty doesn't really say in the movie.
Hey, Mom, let's make out.
Pretty much. Yeah. I got a hankering for some spanker.
Greg Miller, you are my density.
Oh, thank you. I mean, destiny. But no, it's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. That's out next week on PC. And of course, Telltale is also working on this Jurassic time. Park episodic adventure game, too. So I have to see. I don't know if they
That's a series that I do need closure on.
Yeah.
What's going on with them dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Jeff Goldblum just had an adopted kid in number two?
He didn't have an adopted kid. That was his real kid.
No.
Yeah.
Is it? I could have sworn they adopted her. Because didn't he adopt it with Julianne Moore and then they broke up?
No. Julianne Moore was not her mom.
I just referred to the kid as it. I don't understand kids.
No. He just presumably his ex-wife was black.
Oh, well, no, that wasn't it. I just thought I could have sworn that he was married to Julianne Moore and they adopted this kid.
No, he was dating Julianne Moore and they hadn't been talking in a while, but he also had a kid.
Okay.
Read the book.
I was a kid. All right.
And then Vince Vaughn showed up.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
He's in the movie.
What does he do?
He doesn't die.
He's crashing the wedding.
Yeah, he's the like Greenpeace like photographer guy.
Okay,
he's the one who like cuts the bolts.
No. You're thinking of Godzilla with Matthew Broderick and Frank Azaria, and Godzilla's foot comes
Hank
out and
almost
crushes Frank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
No, Hank Azaria freaks out.
I'm thinking of Vince Vaughn from Lost World.
Yep, he is in Lost World.
He's the one who spits the gum, and they like get the T-Rex leg. Okay, they set it.
I'm gonna believe Jack on this one.
My favorite movie.
We're gonna push forward.
Really, The Lost World is your favorite movie? Yeah.
No.
There's a few iOS updates. Puzzle Quest 2 is now on iPhone. It's good. It's just like the DS version, except it doesn't have the multiplayer in it, and it's like $15 or something like that. But it's good. Still, you haven't played Puzzle Quest 2 yet. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light is on iPad, and it is not good.
Oh, you love that game.
I do love that game, but it's just like it has on-screen analog sticks and buttons to control.
What if you could control it with your mind?
Well, if I could control it with my mind, then it'd probably be pretty good.
But I think iPad 2 might have mind control.
I was going to say, that's all she would do.
Wait till it. Yeah, exactly. So definitely play Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light on Xbox, PS3, or PC, but definitely avoid it on iPad. And finally, World of Goo is out on iPad now. And Levi says it's amazing, probably even better than the WiiWare version, probably the perfect iPad game. He says.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out. Now is the time. We've got Christmas gifts
giveaways
that we want to give away to the listeners. Wow. Yesterday, our super fan, Devin Sneathan, came into the office.
He did.
He came bearing
good old
gifts.
Guy.
Yeah, we love him. He's great. He brought us he replenished our supply of Crystal Head vodka.
Yeah.
He gave us this Panda water. It's like metal.
It's a water bottle. It's one of those metal water bottles, but it's got pandas.
It's got
panda
very
on
cute
it.
Pandas on it.
He also gave us Turkish Delights.
That's true. And listeners, Devin Sneathan has a gift for you here. It's wrapped up. I'm going to unwrap it for you. You guys ready for this?
Do we know what it is?
It's a ball!
I thought I knew what it was.
I hope it's a sexy photo.
I know what it is, but I just want to...
Do you want to describe the shape of the package and everything?
Oh, it's like a card. It's like a small card, like an index
card. What is
the shape
say?
Of an index card. It says, "For my fellow scoopers, Devin S."
And then it has a bunch of snowman faces on
it. Exactly.
That you're ripping into right now.
Yeah, so it's a very secular... holiday wrapping here. So it's an Xbox Live Arcade download card.
What?
And he's okay, cool, perfect. Oh, so this is for Super Meat Boy.
Oh.
On Xbox Live Arcade.
Nice.
So we've got a code here. This is from your fellow listener, Devin Sneathan. So I will read this out, and one lucky listener is going to get Super Meat Boy for Xbox Live Arcade.
Did he include the gift receipt?
No, that's how the code is on here. It's weird.
Yeah.
So this is from GameStop, I guess. You buy this card, and then they print out the code for you.
When you do pre-order bonuses now?
They're scared about digital distribution.
Yeah. I know, right?
When you get pre-order bonuses, it's a code that gets printed out on your receipt.
Interesting.
Mm. No, they don't have, like, physical stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, so please silence for the next 10 minutes while I read off the code here. XY9KY J4FXP PCCCQ GRTJX D3XTZ. Please to enjoy Super Meat Boy and Xbox Live Arcade.
Downloading now. Oh, wait, am I not supposed to do this?
Did you use your Windows phone?
Whoever is the lucky recipient, send good vibes to Superfan Devin Sneathan. Also, we have something else to give away.
Oh, dang.
We have Earth Defense Force is a game that came out on Xbox Live a few years ago. It's kind of a cult favorite. The sequel is coming out this spring, Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, I believe. And they sent us these 2011 calendars for the game that have all these hot pictures of hot girls in them.
It has nothing to do with the game, really.
Nothing to do with the game
at all. Is the game not starring hot girls like this?
So really, this is just a 2011 calendar with really hot girls on it. And on the front, it says EDF. And one of you listeners is going to get this. Email gamescoop@ign.com with the put EDF in the subject line, and I will pick a winner at random next week.
I can see through this one girl's shirt. She's wearing a bra.
Fans of hot girls are going to want this calendar. It's true. If you can include your email in the – or you include your address in the email, that'll make it the whole process even faster.
It's also perfect for fans of 2011.
That's true, yeah.
That's true, yeah. If you're looking forward to next year – next year is all on there. Every day.
All your favorite days?
Every
March 3rd.
She's my favorite.
I know, yeah.
The girl who's 16?
On the March / April side is clearly the best one.
Greg, can you check August 25th? Is that on there?
Yep. It's
a this calendar's got everything.
Everything. It's a Thursday.
Everything. Wow.
I also enjoy, like, Earth Defense Force. I believe Insect Armageddon. It's up in the corner of every page. Very tiny.
Well, it's not on the cover, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm pretty sure when Damon opens up that calendar, he's instantly looking at, where's the title?
The title of the game is smaller
than
the
wonder
breasts.
That these girls couldn't beat the aliens last time. Look at how small their barracks are. There's two girls to a bed. That's not good for
armies. You're saying the girls are going to have to sleep in the same bed together?
I guess so.
Okay.
Or maybe they'll have to share a bed with
you. That's good for morale.
All right, remember, email me, gamescoop@ign.com, put EDF in the subject line. I'll pick a winner at random next week.
Before we get off GameScoop stuff, and I forget about it, another GameScoop superfan, whose name escapes me. No, Tragic Dream 50, yes, on the PSN, Tragic Dream 50, made a brand new IGN GameScoop Little Big Planet level. I played through it last night. It's pretty good. A lot of references, new reference to opposing forces. There's a Monster Zero DJ section where you're spinning discs. It's good.
Awesome. Yeah. How can the listeners find it?
When you go on Little Big Planet, you can search by level. You can put in IGN, GameScoop, or you could just put in, Tragic Kingdom 50. That's it. Put in Tragic
Welcome
Kingdom 50.
To the Tragic Kingdom
50. No. Okay, anyways, Tragic Kingdom.
We're losing so much money on
50.
Music rights.
All together, 5-0. Tragic Kingdom 50, all one word.
Perfect.
Still end up knocking the boots.
Let's knock boots one more time.
This year?
Yeah, 2010.
Okay. Are we going to do it in 2011, you think?
Yeah, we're going to be.
Well, is it on the calendar?
Yeah. with these girls, definitely. Okay, this is from Dustin. Our username Murloc86. He says,
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
First, I want to say that although y'all might not be sex experts, sometimes the only thing you need is a third-person point of view to understand your own situation. Second, I much appreciate the video version of your podcast. Ryan Keeley is a very convincing female perspective. What the hell does that mean? She's a convincing female perspective?
He doesn't trust many females but her.
Yeah.
The dynamic of such an attractive woman just emphasizes your professionalism as well as the way any prowling man should act. I don't know what that means.
I agree with everything he's saying, even though I don't understand any of it.
But I do like the fact that us getting a porn star to come be on video with us makes us look professional.
Yeah.
That's good. How that works out. In the first video of Knocking Boots, everyone was sharing Floradoras. I noticed that Ryan may have shot a few seductive glances and flirtatious gestures or the like. While she intrigued me, this also magnified another point to me. All the men contained themselves to harmless flirtation. This is what these other listeners need to witness to learn something. There's a simple ebb and flow to conversation that will inevitably lead one to flirting without fear of failure. Even though you all preach this time and time again, Who cares? This incredibly hot girl will not come back unless she feels wanted. So I think he's saying that listeners are can learn flirting tips by watching us talk to Ryan Keeley.
Well, not that second episode with me, but you know,
I love
that first one's good.
The
comments are awesome.
It's so great.
That guy in the middle looks really scared.
Yeah, there's so much space on the couch between you and Ryan. I didn't notice it at the time.
I didn't notice either because when she sat down, she's sitting like cross-legged and she's like taking up half the couch. So Altan and I kind of like squeeze in next to her. And then right before we start, she kind of like, she sits normal readjust. And she scoots over. But like I didn't readjust. So yeah, I wasn't even really noticing the space. But yeah, you look in the video and there's like this chasm between us where I'm like leaning against Altano away from
distinct.
Her.
Murloc 86 concludes by saying, I also have a fondness for Ryan, and not just in a perverted way, but also as a mentor, and she can pee on me if she wants.
Oh, wow. Good. That was a really sweet sentiment that got ruined.
Well, let me get her on the phone. Let me get her to get your Murloc 1 address to her.
This is from What's-His-Face.
That's a good name.
He says it's great to hear Shakespeare's Pizza name checked on GameScoop. As a fellow Mizzou J school grad, spent some of my best years there at the Heidelberg having hot wings and warm bush, and at Gunther's Games.
Yeah, oh yeah, Gunther's Games out of business now. It was an arcade they had there.
Mm. Aww.
Says for one summer, one fall semester, I was often accompanied by a fellow journalism student. I will refer to her as Anne because that's her name. We probably went across the street to Shakespeare's together at least twice a week. I have a picture of the two of us hugging at graduation, but I never talked to her after that. Almost 2 decades later, how old is this dude?
Whoa.
What does that mean? What are you doing?
I'm just saying, like, 2 decades.
Yeah, baby, he's 40. What do you care? Keep listening to old people. I want you on your respirators listening to the game scoops.
Can you get audio through an iron lung?
Yeah, he says, 2 decades later, it turns out now we're both in the same metro area, but at different papers. When I found out, I shot her a quick email just to say, hey, how you doing? Good to know you're in town. I wasn't hitting on her. That's really all it was. The email I got back only said, I'm sorry, I don't remember you.
Oh.
And that's it.
Oh, then send her a picture of your balls and be like, remember me now, bitch?
He says,
that's the Brett Favre approach.
He said, I wouldn't feel weird about not being remembered if it weren't for the fact that this woman and I had sex twice.
Oh,
see, then I'm right. Send her a picture of your balls. I'm the guy with the weird lump.
It's interesting to think about whether it's more of an indictment of her promiscuity or my performance. Anyway, the question, some of those who have heard this story agree with me and say I should just shrug it off. Others, the women, say she's obviously playing some kind of mind game or is pissed off for some reason. So should I investigate further and try to jog her memory or find out why she would reply so coldly or just let it lie?
In my experience, any woman that you've had sex with more than once remembers every guy. I think she's full of shit. That's just...
Is it
possible she's the wrong girl? Yeah.
That's true.
Another Ann Walters moves to town. You don't know.
Yeah.
That would be amazing if you have it totally wrong.
Then you send it back. But we had sex twice.
I know. Now you should definitely.
I've been married for 50 years.
I just want to let you know that I have herpes, and you should have yourself checked out.
Yeah. Although, if they had sex twice, like 20 years ago.
20 years ago, like, and you know, like if maybe she got around a lot in her college days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was in college 2 years ago. I don't remember a lot of it. Because I was drunk. If she was... They weren't drunk at Shakespeare's? No. Oh, your place sucks. Mizzou sucks.
Well, the way he describes it, we're going there for lunch 2 times a week.
I didn't hear lunch. I just heard 2 times a week.
They went to Shakespeare's twice a week.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
They have good beer specials there. Yeah.
How old are you now, Greg?
Huh?
How old are you now?
27.
Do you remember...
You think about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you remember
once
everyone...
Once I got to 21, I stopped counting. What the fuck do I care?
You're about to embarrass him.
But do you remember everyone you had sex with 20 years ago?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, my God. Totally.
Yep.
What were the names of the girls you had sex with when you were 7?
Oh, man. There were so many. A lot of them are in Canada now, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Name girls you knew when you were 7.
Oh, that's easier.
Is it?
Yeah. You can't remember people you went to. I went to everybody I went
to. If Amanda Evans emailed me, I would be like, it would take me like 15 minutes to think about who she was. I would send a response that was like, who?
There's been plenty of people on Facebook who message me, and I'm like,
no idea.
Yeah, and I have to call Poe. I'm like, do we know this person? And he goes, yes. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and that's like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, 20
But I didn't have sex with those people twice.
True, it's true.
I have the common courtesy to remember people I had sex with twice.
I mean, I think the thing to take solace in is that, you know, you got a second go-around. So pretty much, if it was really bad or embarrassing or she hated you, she wouldn't have said yes the second time.
I mean, don't forget to September 11th happened. A lot of stuff has happened in 20 years. All right, I would say, remind her who you are.
We went to Shakespeare's a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't leave out the boot knocking.
Yeah.
But and what do you care? You find out what's going on with this chick. Mm-hmm. Maybe she has Alzheimer's. How old are you again? You're old.
Or this is an anonymous listener. It says, first time writing in, long time listener from Toronto, Ontario, in Canada.
Oh.
Didn't know where to go or who I could talk to about this, so I thought I should ask advice from the professionals. My girlfriend just dropped a bomb on me.
You dropped a bomb on me.
Probably not the one I'm thinking of. I didn't even say anything.
Saying that she loves me very much, but does not enjoy sex with me.
Ooh.
That's rough.
She just drops this on me out of nowhere. I never saw it coming.
Just driving down the street Sunday afternoon.
Right now, she is worried about where her life is going, if she'll get a job, and has been really depressed about a lot of things, on top of having anxiety issues. She said she is afraid of commitment and that recently the sex has not been good. She said she wishes she had met me later on in her life because I'm the guy she should marry. So now I need your help. I don't know what to do or how to fix this. They took a break. Sorry. They end up. So I agreed we should go on a break for about a month. So was taking a break the right thing to do, or should I just break up and move on? I love her and don't want to leave her. I'm at my wit's end.
Well, the break is, I consider, a breakup. It's not a permanent breakup, but you are broken up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you should be broken up indefinitely. I mean, I would say it's probably over with. If she's
sounds
not
like
where
she has a lot of issues.
Yeah, if she's screwed up and she's not where she needs to be right now for you. You need to look out for number one.
Yeah.
Maybe even a wiener dog like I do. You got to think about what's happening with him. You got to protect him.
Doesn't sound like she's ready to be with you at this time in her life.
Yeah. And she's crazy.
Yeah, she sounds like she's a little bit crazy.
Get better at sex.
Yeah, there's
watch some videos.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it's all her fault. I'm like,
well, no, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, if she's got a lot going on in her life and she's got anxiety and stuff, she's probably hard for.
She's probably not into sex either at that point.
Yeah.
I get stressed out about a Bears game, and I'm like, I don't want to focus on anything else.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't go in there and was like, so I just wanted you know that I don't enjoy sex. I've been fucking a bunch of strangers behind your back.
Well, it was worded weird. It was like, I don't enjoy sex with you. And I was like, that's an odd extra word.
Like, I've been trying other people to make sure, and it's really just
you. Yeah, it's just you.
It's just you.
One more here. This is Zach. He says, I'm going to be taking two twins to a formal party next Saturday.
Yeah,
my
Zach!
Yeah.
They both are really interested in me, and I was wondering if the Scoop Crew had any tips for landing this elusive threesome.
I bet it won't.
Alcohol,
there's not a chance in hell.
Alcohol.
They are both gorgeous blondes, and I know only the Knocking Brutes crew could possibly have the answers I see.
Alcohol.
So if this is true, you do not need our help.
If this is a high school dance, they're not getting drunk and you're not having sex.
You're going to homecoming. Yeah. Yeah. And one of them has a bum leg and couldn't get a date. So
Is this the will you go to prom with me? No. Yes, if you take my sister too. Yeah. Obligation.
So when twins are involved, like you don't actually influence this sexual relationship, especially in high school. Like if they were going to both have sex with you at the same time, they've decided with themselves that they were going to do this
in their psychic twin language.
You're not going to somehow convince them of this. So I would say pick the twin you want. Focus on that one, and one of two things will happen. Either you'll get with that girl, or you'll make the other twin really jealous, and then you'll get with her. But, just
kind of... Either way, you're a winner.
Either way, you're a winner. But they've already decided whether or not you would have sex with both of them.
Also,
watch out for episode 8 when they switch places and try to fool you.
Oh, my gosh.
Because your life is a sitcom.
It's true. It's true. All right, we have time for a few... listener emails here. Let's check in with the listeners, I should say.
I love the listeners.
This is from Mr. Loaded Pants.
I take that back.
Mr. Loaded Pants?
Oh, it's a picture.
Greg, I heard Greg mention burgers and donuts in one sentence. It reminded me of a donut burger I had in Miami at our annual fair. The burger tasted like a good burger should, but with a soft, sweet aftertaste that surprised even my doubtful, slender wife. Best of all, the donuts were of the Krispy Kreme variety. Anyone on the East Coast will say kicks the crap out of Dunkin' Donuts. Actually, I thought people on the East Coast really like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I think he's got it backwards.
I think, West Coast would say.
Anyway, then that looked delicious.
No.
That looks so disgusting.
He sent a picture.
There's no part of that that looks appealing.
It's like a cheeseburger,
that girl's butt in the background?
And two Krispy Kreme donuts are making up the...
Her butt kind of looks like a cheeseburger in between Krispy Kreme donuts.
This butt is actually not very big. This one?
I think it's a dude.
Yeah.
Well, he's wearing man-pries then, if it's a Anyway, I have not had this, but I would eat this once. I would try this one time.
I would do it at the.
You would never try this.
If you go to the, this is, you could get this at a In-N-Out over, where am I thinking?
Really?
Daily City. Daily City. Yeah, the one that has right next to Krispy Kreme.
But you have to make it yourself.
That's what we made.
No, you bring them over and they'll do it for you.
That's what we made the poor intern eat one time. We took him out to In-N-Out and then we were like, it was his first day and we're like, you know, every editor, the first day they have to eat a Krispy Kreme burger. And we told him what it was, which was like, get a Krispy Kreme donut, cut it in half, put an In-N-Out burger in between it. And he thought we were serious, so he actually did it. And then he was eating it, and we were all just like, bah! And he quit the next day. Well, you can't stand the heat.
Yeah. I would take a bite of that, but that's it.
I would at least try it. I want to see what that tastes
I mean,
like.
I'd rather have that than drink an entire bucket of semen. If I could get paid
$1 million.
Am
I going to get $1 billion to eat the hamburger? Is that part of the Krispy Kreme challenge I missed?
How does this gentleman pronounce his name, Greg?
Oh, Damon. Of course he pronounced it. Fizzwald Oliwat!
He wants to know, would you rather have only single-player games till the end of time or only multiplayer games?
Only single-player.
We all said single-player, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. Yeah, I don't need to play.
I want a story. I want to have a story.
Harrison Tucker wants to know, what is the job title for people who create the ideas and stories behind games?
Writer.
Yeah.
Well, game director? Game designer?
I feel like it could be a variety of things.
Creative director.
Yeah.
Creative director. That's a good one.
Creative director.
Go get your degree in that. Creative director.
Creative directing.
How does this gentleman pronounce his name?
Well, Damon, of course, this one is Zan Topolsky.
Yeah, why is it so redacted?
Black Ops.
No, when listeners, when they send really long emails, I black out the parts to skip over so I can,
This just looks like a JFK assassination.
Yeah, it looks like the CIA sent us an email.
It's so I can read more concisely and whatever. Anyway, he's from, where is he from? Slovenia.
Nice.
You know where that is, Jack?
I do know where that is.
Where is it? Paint me a picture.
You got Europe.
Yeah.
You got like Spain and France and Germany. Slovenia is going to be like over here.
Okay.
Okay. So like kind of,
Where is it in relation to Latveria?
Yes. It's right next to the made up place. I believe, yeah. It's over near the Czech Republic.
Anyway.
Or maybe by Latvia.
What's his name again, Greg?
I forget.
Zan.
Yeah. He says, he wants to know, how is gaming perceived by the general public over there? Do you feel slightly ashamed when you tell others who are not into gaming that you're a hardcore gamer? The reason I'm asking is that I normally hesitate a bit before telling someone I'm really, really into games. The problem is that gaming over here is not as popular as it seems to be overseas. And if you tell the average Joe that you're a gamer, he's immediately going to profile you as a gaming get-a-life geek.
I said, well, get some fucking balls.
Yeah.
If you're not proud of being who you are, then you should just get the fuck out of your own country.
Also,
out of your country? Where do you go? Where should you go?
Go to Latveria.
go somewhere else. I mean, like, seriously, like I don't care what somebody in the country... I mean, I like games. That's what I do for a living, too. So it's like, I don't know. If you can't deal with that, then get out of my face.
I think labels are dumb anyway. I mean, I don't think people who, touch football on the weekends are like, I'm a touch footballer. They don't label themselves like that because it's a hobby.
No, but I am
gamers.
Now.
Gamers want that, but then don't want the label that comes with it. Like if you don't like a label, don't call yourself that.
But I would say I don't feel like there's a harsh social stigma for gaming these days in the U.S. Like
no, not really. No.
Hillary Mohammed Al Falasi.
What's up, dude?
Has a question for you. He says, I'm from the United Arab Emirates, longtime listener, first time writing in. I'd like to thank the entire Scoop crew and the IGN Legion for their amazing work. He says, I'm worried about those retail dollars GameStop will be trying to push on you guys with this new partnership.
Oh, God.
I know that this won't affect your opinions in any way, because you guys seem like the only bastion of proper gaming news on the web.
We're a bastion.
Yeah, we are. So please clarify what this partnership is all about.
It's really just like an ad partnership. It doesn't have anything to do with us at all. So it's more like that we basically are... So if you go to GameStop.com, right, there's no ads on there right now. Mm-hmm. So basically our sales team is going to be able to sell ads for GameStop on GameStop.com. So that's like mostly it. And then there'll be like some like GameStop buy buttons on IGN. Like, so when you, like, we've had this actually in the past, it's just not been with any retailers you'd ever heard of in your life, but there'll be just an option to buy games that you read about. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it. So
some of our content will appear on GameStop.com.
And I think it's all, I don't know how that gets chosen, but it doesn't have anything to do with us. We just do what we do, and then they can put up whatever they want.
It's interesting. I don't know how many people get it outside of me and Jack with our highfalutin journalism ways. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a huge wall between sales and editorial. Like, we have no idea what sales does. At least the
I don't even know who they are.
Exactly. They try to entice us over there with bagels. Yeah. But, like, ads go live on our site, and we have no idea. Just like we have no idea what's going to happen with GameSpot.
And my favorite is still the one where we posted that story that was like there was that poll that AT&T is the worst service provider in America, and then it was like we were at the same time had just started running this big ad for AT&T on the top. Mm. Like, yeah, we don't know what's going to even show up on the site. So
Naughty Bear's terrible review went up the same day as the Naughty Bear page blanket.
Yeah.
That's good. Tron, same deal.
Wayne says, I recently opened my copy of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and noticed that the manual is a slip of paper. Mm-hmm. With the basic controls.
Is this written by Jim Riley?
And then directs you to read the in-game manual.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed with the in-game manual because it is not accompanied by pictures and video, but I do like the idea. You'll never have to worry.
So wait, there was video in the normal
game manual? It was an iPad was inserted into it.
Oh, was it a pop-up book in the past? I mean, what the...
He says, with in-game manuals, he likes the idea of in-game manuals. You'll never have to worry about losing a manual because it's in the game. If this trend catches on... And in-game manuals become better presented. Do you think people will read game manuals again?
No. Why would you?
If you design a game properly, you don't need a manual. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. However, I have to say that I really like the fact that on Xbox Live Arcade, Microsoft requires every game to have like a how to play.
I agree.
Built into the menu, and I don't know why Sony doesn't do that on PSN. PSN games don't do that.
These games are so easy to play.
I tried to play X-Men and have no idea what's going on.
Which two buttons are the only two buttons?
There's been a couple of times when I wanted, like Terrover was one of those games. Terrover was terrorable.
Yeah, Jack.
I like the in-game manual. I like that. That seems to make sense to me. WiiWare does it really dumb, where the manuals are like they're not in the game, they're online.
You have to quit the game.
You have to quit the game and go to like Nintendo servers to read the manual.
Yeah, a manual that's in the game itself is fine. The ones where it's like, go to this website while you're playing the game. Yeah, no.
That's not it. Let's see here. Phil Rousen says, I can't stop playing Crackman DX. Why did you recommend this to me, Damon? Your perfect 10 score is going to ruin so many lives. You are more evil than Adolf Vega. Keep up the good work over there.
Wow.
IGN. Whoa.
Why did you do that, Damon?
I have wanted to ruin everybody's holidays.
He was hoping all the bankers in the world would get hooked on it, and then he could just go rob their banks while they were empty.
Yeah. Damon, how come your perfect 10 score didn't result in better sales for Pac-Man?
Well, I mean, it's not... Every time I jump on, I see there's more and more people on the leaderboards. There's over 60,000 on the Xbox Live Arcade leaderboards now. Still
and
not
14
phenomenal.
On the PS1.
Like, still not phenomenal. Like, that should be selling hundreds of thousands of copies, really. But yeah. Oh well. We're gonna do one more email here. Which one should I do? Oh, this Jean-Marie wants to know. He wants to go to E3. He wants to know, will E3 change his life?
No.
He says,
"Why are you game? Are you trying to get into?"
He says, "I have three dreams in my life. One of them is to go to E3. I know it's not a public thing, but I might have some connections to get in. What I want to know is, if I go there, will I be able to see all the different aspects of the gaming industry? I want to talk with the developers, PR people, and all the different companies to really see what is the gaming industry and if it's for me."
Yeah. Okay. Then I guess. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Totally.
That could change your life.
I think GDC is actually for that. Oh, yeah. When I wanted to get into game journalism, I faked my way into an E3 and did that. Mm. And yeah, it was awesome.
It was
back in 2005 when E3 was awesome. So, like, E3's
been getting better.
It's been getting better. But, like, you got, like, the developers were around a lot more, like, at their booths. I remember, like, playing Jack X and having, like, some dude with a British accent come up behind me and be like, what do you think? And I was like, why would Naughty Dog make a whole game based on the shittiest part of Jack 3? And I turn around and it's like, oh,
Christoph.
What's up, dude from Naughty Dog? And he gave me his business card and a free t-shirt for that and then, like, told me to call him.
Never buy my game.
Yeah.
Nowadays, most times, developers are behind closed doors for media only. So, like, you don't get quite the same experience as, like, you know, sort of having... Like the direct contact as much?
PAX is still like that though. PAX still has developers wandering around.
Yeah, you know, PAX is probably his better bet. I think it's
That's just, probably true.
It's just way more fun.
Yeah.
So
PAX is a good show. One more email. Jordan Bolt.
Yes.
Says,
yes.
Remember Jordan Bolt, superhero name?
Yes.
We talked about this.
Yes. He came up to me all electrified, and I turned him down, and he phased through the wall and went away.
He says, using my infamous-like energy and electricity powers, I have just returned from 4 years in the past. Man, there was so much going on back then. The PS3 and the Wii were launching. Xbox 360s were breaking down all over the place. Kids were calling into GameScoop, accusing them of hating the PS3, and everybody was hating on Micah. Or wait, maybe that was a GameScoop-induced stupor from listening to the first 25 episodes in 2 days while doing snow snow removal at work up here in chilly old Canada.
Jordan Bolt, you're electricity-based. You can't be around water.
Either way, more than 150 episodes later, in the present day, and still going strong. Keep up the good work.
Wait, what would happen to him if he was in water? He would electrocute himself?
Don't you remember in that episode of the Superman animated series with the electric girl, and he defeats her by turning on the sprinklers?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, speaking of those old days, the next GameScoop tune that Javi's working on is really good. It's when Rob the Robot reviewed Assassin's Creed. It's really, awesome. Really good.
Also, Livewire was
instance.
Livewire, that was it.
I miss Rob the Robot.
Yeah.
Too bad he died.
Soleus killed him.
and then Soleus died.
There can be only one robot.
Soleus is not really dead. He was acting, Dan. That wasn't real.
No,
that was action.
That's why we're getting the DeLorean, so we can go back in time and save Soleus from dying.
All right, that needs to be the first video.
Yeah, don't ruin the goddamn storyline. Please.
Okay, thank you.
All right, now I think we're going to take a potential new or somebody that wants to work at IGN. We're going to go out to lunch with them and see what they're all about.
Oh, cool. So awesome. Gonna,
you're not coming.
Oh.
But that is
he's here for your job.
Oh, shit. Time to kiss some ass.
How much Pokemon do you know?
I would say that we're doing that feature on games we want to announce in 2011, and Chris Carl picked a Pokemon action RPG, and I wanted to kick his ass for stealing it before me. Yeah.
That's all the scoops we have for you this year. Everybody, have a very safe and happy new year. I guess it'll be a couple weeks till we get back.
Well, yeah. For GameScoop, so you know, some of us will still be updating the site throughout the rest of the year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, IGN's still be not going to go read. Down. It's going to 404 for the next few weeks.
So thank you, Hill. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Greg. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Come get some. Beware, I live.
IGN GameScoop.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.